Is this frequency open? Is this frequency open? CQ, 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 WX0, MIK, Whiskey X-Ray 0, Mike India Kilo. CQ, 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 WX0, MIK. Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. This is the Dog Days of Podcasting edition for August 17th, 2019. I am WX0MIK and my name is Mike Wills. This season of Dog Days of Podcasting, we are covering amateur radio. And we are going through the ARRL Technician License Manual. You can buy it on Amazon, multiple other places too, but I have a link to it in my show notes for Amazon and where to buy that. If you go all the way back to episode one, I talked more about where to get that and things like that. So today we are going through chapter 6.6, satellite operating. Operating a satellite is kind of like operating on a repeater, only it's a little bit further away. So let's take a step back for a second. When we start talking about satellites, in most cases, amateur satellites are nicknamed OSCAR. OSCAR is Orbiting Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio. It says here amateurs built more than 50 satellites since 1961. I think there's actually more than that, but whatever. We'll just continue on. Even though it sounds extremely complicated communicating through amateur satellites, you can, in most cases, use your little handheld to do this. As I was starting to talk about, it's kind of like talking to a repeater. Except now, instead of having a transmit and receive frequency, now you have an uplink frequency, and then you have a downlink frequency. And even better yet, so let's say you're a technician, you do not have, well, in the example that they have in the book, a technician does not have voice privileges in the 10-meter band. However, if you are talking on a satellite, and the uplink is in the 2-meter range, so that's in the 140 megahertz range, you are perfectly allowed to communicate through the satellite and talk to people. Now, if you're uploading on the 10-meter link uplink, now you've got an issue. But at the very least, you're allowed to communicate via satellite for many of them, and most of them I've seen are VHF or UHF or some sort of variation thereof. Satellite uplink and downlink frequencies are restricted to special satellite subbands, and that is part of the band plans. Amateur satellites relay signal between bands, usually on VHF or UHF, like I talked about, and some of them can be FM repeaters. So it's kind of neat. I have not tried this myself yet. They talk about the different subbands that are in here. They go through some different satellite definitions, like beams and apogee, Doppler shift, elliptical orbit. What is a LEO? Which is a low Earth orbit. I thought that was defined somewhere else in here. And then various other terms that are out there. And just kind of get some common language. There's quite a few questions kind of covering that. There's a little sideband here asking which amateur radio stations may make contact with an amateur radio station on the ISS using 2 meter and 70 centimeter. Well, the answer is really any licensed amateur can do that. So even if you are a technician, if you have the right equipment and you do need probably a special antenna, you can transmit and communicate to astronauts on the ISS. Pretty cool. I have not, like I said, I have not tried that, but and we talked previously about what kind of a special antenna you need to do that. The book then starts talking about how you track satellites and using the Keplerian elements. I think that's what it's called anyway. Or you need to use like a satellite tracking program. So the app I use is called ISS Detector. By default, it only brings in the International Space Station. But through some of the add-ins, and I think it's even a free add-in, you can bring in amateur radio satellites as well. And most of them list out the uplink, the downlink, how the mode that you can use to communicate them, and so on. So it's kind of cool. Once I build the right antenna, I will definitely be trying that at least at some point. So, and then you just kind of make sure you point that antenna in that general direction. Sometimes, but not always, you can use just your standard antenna, but that is much less likely. It's easier if you have a Yagi-style antenna or beam-style antenna so you can aim it right at where the ISS should be. I was even thinking of making it so I can mount my phone right on it so I can just, with the app, it kind of, you can follow the path so you can just kind of start pointing it and just kind of like follow it as it goes across to the other horizon. So then they start talking about, yeah, you need to determine the mode of the satellite, and I just mentioned that. Some do SSB, single sideband, some are FM, some are Morse code or CW, and others actually do data. So yeah, they tell you in here that you get the best results with a beam antenna that you aim directly at the satellite by your tracking program. Some satellites can be contacted with simple vertical antennas, but when they are directly overhead and the distance to them is low, but yet they're less likely. They also talk about to use a minimum amount of transmitter power to contact satellites since their relay transmitter power is limited by the solar panel and batteries. If your signal on the satellite downlink is the same strength that as the satellite's beacon, you're using the right amount of power. I'm not sure exactly how you tell that, but stuff you just got to learn as you kind of go. And then they reference you to a website called AMSAT, AMSAT. It's an organization that deals a lot with this, and then you can learn a lot more through there. So that's kind of covering satellites. It's kind of cool. I mean, if you're a little handheld, in theory, you could go, I'm not sure how far, at least several hundred miles, if not, you know, maybe 1,000 miles with the correct equipment that you could actually talk to other people. From what I remember, my general test, it was those contacts are typically kept extremely short because so many people are trying to do it while it's above them. And two, you don't have much time, so you can't just start talking to people and rag chewing with people, as they call it in ham radio, rag chewing. It's pretty much a, hey, I got you. Here's my call sign. Here's the frequency, although it's kind of known. And then here's a signal report, and goodbye. So if you were to do that, I would highly suggest listening for a few times to conversations before you jump into it. And maybe learn the protocol, research protocols and stuff. But there's just yet another thing that you can do with ham radio. And you can't do that with your cell phone. So I'm going to wrap it up here. Actually, it's a little bit shorter, thankfully, by the time I'm done editing this. So until tomorrow, I thank you so much for listening. And this is 73 from WX0MIK. The frequency is now clear.
The frequency is clear. WX0MIK 73.